Bibles to Romans chapter 10, if you would. We're going to focus on verses 14 to 17 this afternoon, but we're going to back up to verse 8. So Romans 10, 8, to kind of catch our context. So you might remember this morning in verses 5 and 6, Moses described the righteousness which is of the law. The man which does those things shall live by them. In other words, if you're going to go with the law, then you've got to live by the law. That's how you have to live. The problem is none of us can keep the law. We all fall short. But then the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Don't say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven to bring Christ down, or descend to the deep to bring Christ from the dead? Because Christ did come. And he did die, and he was raised again. So it's not something that you can do. You don't get him, go get him. You don't bring him up. He did that. And so it's faith in what Christ has done for us. It's faith that Jesus did come down from heaven, believing that he is who he said he was, that he came from the Father, believing that he lived that sinless life. And then he gave that life on Calvary's cross. He died, and 3 days later, on the third day, he rose again. And so Christ did the work. And so what Paul's really saying is, if you want to live by the law, then you got to keep the law. But the righteousness that comes by faith is this. It's not something you do. You're not going to make it happen. It's not that you have to go to the ends of the earth to save yourself, because Christ literally came from heaven. He literally went to, he died for you, and he rose again. And so he went to the great lengths. And it's amazing to me, because so many people in the world today kind of have that mindset. Like, tell me what I have to do and I'll do it to be saved. And you say, well, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're like, no, there's got to be more to it than that. That's the attitude that people have. Like, give me a list of rules and regulations. Tell me what I have to do. Like, how many Hail Marys do I need to say? How much do I need to beat myself? Like, how much do I need to give? Like, what do I have to do? And so there's something in us as humans, like we feel like there's something we need to contribute. But the reality is, friends, that you can't add anything to God becoming a man and dying for our sins and raising again. There's nothing to add to that. And when we try, it is an offense to God to say, I'm going to add to you giving your only son for me. And so what we have to do is just come by faith. So let's, if you're able, let's stand. Romans 10, verse 8, we're going to pick up. Let's pray together one more time. Hey, is anybody tired this afternoon? If you're not too tired, could you raise your hand and say, I'm tired. Anybody tired? Yeah. Some of you had too much cake. I mean, I'm not judging. I'm just saying. There's something about it. We talk about this every time we have a meal here. It's like something happens in your stomach. The more you put in it, the more it pulls down on your eyelids. Isn't that right, Wes? Yeah, he did take a nap. All right. So I understand the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing, and we want to hear from God this afternoon. So let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us through his word, and then we're gonna read our text now. So let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you so much for the great fellowship we got to enjoy this afternoon. Thank you for just the time in your word in Sunday school and in the preaching hour. Thank you for time just to worship you, to sing your praises. And I thank you for Jesus, who loves us, who gave himself for us. And I pray that what we do this afternoon will be to your glory. Please bless your word in spite of me. Lord, help me from nothing without you. And I pray that if anyone hearing this message has never been saved, that even today, this very day, they would repent, turn away from their sin and unbelief, and put their faith in you alone. And Father, I pray that your will would be accomplished in all our lives. Give us a great burden for the lost and a desire to see them saved. And Father, I pray for the lost here, or maybe hearing my voice. I pray for the lost in our community, that you help us to reach them, to be bold in our witness when we go into the world, to the workplace, into the community, wherever life takes us, that we will take the gospel with us. Please bless your word now as we read it. Speak to us through it. Teach us by your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 8 says, but what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all who call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Please be seated. So as we kind of pick up where we left off this morning, we're really moving into this. We saw that we ought to pray for others to be saved with a sincere heart. We need to trust in Christ alone for our salvation. He is the end, the conclusion of righteousness by the law for those who believe and seek righteousness by faith, not by the law. But then once you have believed and you've been given his righteousness, then you need to live out your faith by walking in obedience to Christ. And then lastly, this afternoon, it's just this. Preach the word of faith. It's really just that simple. God has called us to preach the word of faith. Now, when we think about this idea of being obedient when he gives us this righteousness, back in Deuteronomy 10, in verse 12, he says, and now Israel, what does the Lord require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandment of the Lord, his statutes, which I command thee this day for thy good. And so all the while back in the Old Testament, it's always been about loving God. It's always been faith and love. It's nothing new. And I don't know that I got that growing up in church. I kind of had this idea that it was really law and rules and regulations, Old Testament, and then it's just grace in the New Testament. But the truth is that God called for them to believe then, and he called them to love then, and it's always been about faith and love. It's nothing new. Now, God brings it about in a different way, and it all had to be fulfilled by Christ, right? Because we can't have our own righteousness. We can't have righteousness on our own. So because God loves us, we love him in return. And he loves us, why? Because that's who he is, right? Adrian Rogers said, God does not love us because we are valuable. We are valuable because God loves us. It's not that we earned it. It's not that we ever could. It's simply by his grace, his mercy, and his goodness that we are loved by God. So we need to trust in Christ alone. I want to talk to you about this idea of trusting Christ alone a little bit, because I think there's a lot of confusion. When we go door knocking in our town, and or if I just try to talk to anybody anywhere about their salvation, I want to try to find out if they've been born again. So there's a lot of different ways you can ask that. Sometimes I'll ask, have you ever been born again? Have you been saved? Are you saved? If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? Or if you were to stand before God on judgment day and God were to ask you, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say? And you get all kinds of answers, but a lot of people around here, when you ask them about that, they'll say, oh yeah, yeah, I was saved when I was 10 or 11 or whatever, or they'll say I was baptized, yeah, I did all that. And so they point to being baptized, or sometimes they'll point to some preacher praying over them or something else like that. But that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is putting your personal faith in Christ alone, okay? Arthur Pink said this, saving faith is not a mere nod of approval or intellectual assent to the gospel. It is a casting of the whole soul upon Christ. Now, here's what that means. When you put your faith in Jesus, it's not just in your mind. You go, I know Jesus lived and died on the cross, and I believe that there was a man named Jesus who died on the cross. It's not mental assent. What it is trusting in him with everything you have. And it's really hard to put that into words to make people understand. I mean, we've used the, you know, jumping out of an airplane analogy a billion times. I remember when I was younger, the illustration, you're in a burning building. You're on the third or fourth floor. There's so much smoke you can't see down, but you can hear the firefighters down below saying, just jump, just let go, and we'll catch you. Anybody else ever heard that one? And that sticks with me. I remember that. You're holding on. You're trying to save yourself. But the building's on fire. If you hang on by yourself, you're going to die. Down below the smoke where you can't see them, you can only hear them, the firefighters are saying, "Listen, we're here. We've got a net. We're going to catch you. Just let go and we will catch you." And I think that serves as a pretty good illustration of what it is to trust in Jesus, because when you let go, there's nothing else. It's only Christ. And you can't see him, but you can hear him. You can't see him with these eyes, but you hear him through his word, and his word is calling you to believe. And so what you got to do is let go of everything. Let go of your self-righteousness. Let go of your own goodness. Let go of your good works and just say, either Jesus is going to catch me or nothing is. Either Christ is going to save me or nothing is. And that's what it means to trust in Jesus alone. I'm letting go of everything else. And that's what he's calling us to trust in Jesus alone. And so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We got to come to this place where we trust in him alone. There has to be obedience to the call to preach the gospel. Verse 13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, you notice this is preceded with this idea that if you confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You notice in verse 10, the heart man believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so it's pointing back to a change of heart that leads to something that comes out of your mouth. Like, it's something you believe in here, and it causes you to say something different here. That's where it comes from. But at the end of the day, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you believe that? We believe that because it's what the word of God says, but we understand it's not just something someone says. It has to be faith, right? So it's over and over and over. Believe, believe, believe. It's by faith. And so when you believe, you call on the Lord, and when that happens, you will be saved. Now, verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And then he gives us this beautiful scripture. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And isn't it, it's a beautiful thing when somebody comes and brings good news, right? That's the picture here. The herald coming, and he's bringing good news. The victory's been won. The battle is won. The victory's won. You're saved. And so that's the message that we bring. So let me ask you this. Has anybody been sent to preach in the world today? You say, oh, yeah. I mean, you think about the missionaries that are over there in Papua New Guinea or Papua Indonesia. You think about the people that are down in Africa or in other places of the world. Look at those people who have been sent. And that's true. You think, oh, well, yeah, I mean, like, look at our pastor and other pastors and other churches. Like, God sent them and called them to preach the gospel. But I just would plead with you to pick up the word of God and let it be a mirror to you and understand that God has sent you to preach the gospel. And when I was growing up, I mean, I just had a hard time getting past this. How shall they hear without a preacher? Well, the preacher was the pastor. Like, that's who the preacher was. The preacher was the man who was up standing up in the pulpit like I'm doing now. That's the preacher. And it took me a long time to learn that it's not talking about him alone. It's talking about all of us. We have all been sent. When Jesus said, go and preach the gospel to every creature, listen, you can argue with me all you want to. I don't think he was just talking to the apostles and that's it. I think that Jesus wants everybody who believes in him to tell the good news to others so that they can believe too. So that means that every man, woman, boy, and girl sitting in this room today who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, God has sent you to preach the gospel. You guys agree with that? I think it's a fundamental difference, because when I was growing up, I didn't know how to distinguish between pastor and preacher. Like, those were synonymous terms. But pastor is an office. It's a role. It's a place of responsibility in the church. But preacher, that's everybody who proclaims the good news. And that's what all of us ought to do. Okay. How can they preach except they be sent? Well, we have been sent. Go preach the gospel to every creature, to every person. go make disciples of all nations, so we've been sent. So if we go and preach, then they can hear. So what does it mean to preach? Well, it means to open your mouth and tell the good news. It means to be obedient to the gospel. It means to tell other people that Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, has come into the world. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And that only through faith in Christ alone you can have eternal life. It's the good news. It's not complicated. It's simple. So we go and tell people. And if we go and preach it, then what can they do? They can hear. And if they hear the good news, then they have an opportunity to do what? To believe. So you go preach it, they hear it. If they hear it, then they can believe. They have to make a choice to believe or not believe. And if they believe, then they can call on the name of the Lord. And whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be. Listen, I know you're tired, but this is really good news. When I was 14 years old, I called on the name of the Lord, and he saved me. And if you're in this room today and you're saved, it's because at some point you heard the good news, you believed it, and you called on the Lord, and he saved you. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. I was on my way to hell forever, and he saved me because I believed and I called on his name. It's the good news I want everybody to have. How many of you would like to see a revival in America? This happened before. It could happen again. Wouldn't you like to see millions of people come to faith in Jesus? I hear about it sometimes. I'll hear about revivals happening in other places. There were several events last year, throughout the year, at different colleges around the country where hundreds of people put their faith in Jesus and were baptized. And I hear about the skepticism all the time. How do you know it's real? I don't know. I don't even know if you're saved. How am I going to know if they are? Listen, I'm just saying, when somebody professes Jesus and they get baptized in obedience to Jesus, I'm going to rejoice in that. And I've seen videos of hundreds of college students coming to faith in Jesus. If that's not revival, I don't know what is. So I'm going to rejoice in that. I praise God for what's going on in places, but don't you want to see it here? Don't you want to see people in your school, in your workplace, and in your community, and your neighborhood come to faith in Jesus? Well, it's not going to happen if we don't open our mouths and tell them. We have to be obedient to what God has called us to. A.W. Tozer said, "Have you noticed how much praying for revival has been going on of late and how little revival has resulted? I believe the problem is that we have been trying to substitute praying for obeying, and it simply will not work." Here's what I'm trying to tell you this afternoon. You can keep praying for revival, and you can keep praying for other people to be saved, and you should do that. The apostle desired for others to be saved, and he prayed for that. But you know what? He didn't just sit in his lazy chair and pray. He got up, and he went out, and he preached the gospel. I just don't understand why people aren't getting saved. Well, guess what? You got to open your mouth and tell them. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... I don't know how Paul can make it any plainer, guys. He's walked it back perfectly for us. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. But they can't call on him if they don't believe in him. And they can't believe in him if they haven't heard. And they're not going to hear unless somebody preaches. And nobody's going to go preach unless they've been sent. But we have been sent. You and I have been sent. So we got to be obedient. Carl Henry said, "The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time." The gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Now listen, you can argue with that. I understand that the gospel literally means good news, so it's always good news, but I'm just telling you. When somebody dies without Christ, having never heard the gospel, it's a horrific thing. Everybody sitting in this room today who has faith in Jesus, you know somebody who isn't saved. And I know that you probably pray about that. God, please save them. Please work in their lives. Please bring them to repentance and faith. I hope that you pray for that. If you know someone who isn't saved and you're not praying for them to be saved, something's wrong. But you can't just pray. You have to open your mouth and give them the gospel. You must. You must. I'm so thankful that there were people who loved me enough to give me the gospel. And I want to be used by God to get the gospel to other people. sharing Christ with other people could be a scary thing. I'm 45 years old, I think. I've been trying to share the gospel with other people since I was a teenager, and I still get so scared. Man, we go door knocking. We've been doing that for years here at Calvary, and we go, I mean, Abigail was talking about the other day. I don't know that there's a street in this town we haven't gone down and knocked on doors multiple times. Like, we've been to all these houses so many times. And I still get butterflies when I go to knock on somebody's door. I still get nervous. But what's that compared to their eternity? Talking to people on the street, that's pretty easy to me. What gets really hard is sitting down with somebody I grew up with, somebody I'm close to, somebody who knows me. But what's a little bit of discomfort or awkwardness compared to their eternity? Friends, all we got to do is love them enough to give the gospel to them. I love how this whole passage, he's pointing back to Deuteronomy and all these things in the law. And Moses says, the law is not far away from you. It's near. It's in your mouth and in your heart. So what you need to do is believe. Believe God. And if you believe God, then you love the Lord your God and you keep his commandments. See, even back then, it was supposed to flow out of a heart of faith and love. Do you guys see that? But sandwiched between all of this law-keeping and this godly living and this holiness that he's talking about, like, you need to believe, have faith in Jesus, and then you need to live that out in a life of holiness. Sandwiched in it is my prayer to God, my desire, my heart's desire, my prayer to God is for Israel to be saved and go and preach the gospel, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And it's all sandwiched in between the gospel. It's all surrounded by the gospel, and it all flows out of the gospel, because I don't know God except for the gospel, and nobody else can either. So we want to go. We're going to preach the word of faith, and we're going to do it everywhere we go. Is your heart's desire and prayer to God for the lost to be saved? Are you trusting in Christ alone for your righteousness, your right relationship with God? Are you living for the one who died for you and rose again? And then here's this. Have you received the gospel by faith? And are you sharing the gospel? Are you sharing the gospel with your life and with your mouth? We're going to close with a song. I'm going to ask our musicians to come. Will you stand with me? While we get ready for this song, I want you to just think about people you might know that aren't saved. And maybe as we have this song of invitation, where you're at or down here, you could come and pray for them. Maybe you got somebody who lives in your own house who's not saved, and you want to pray for them, somebody, a family member, a friend, a classmate, a coworker, whoever, but pray for people by name this afternoon. But how about this? There may be people right now, you're standing in this room right now, and you are not saved. Like, you, when you examine your heart this afternoon, you're like, I know that I've never been born again. I know I've never really trusted in Jesus. I've not been born again. I plead with you today that you would put your faith in Jesus right now. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. I've tried to preach the truth to you, so you've heard it. God loves you so much that Christ died for you. He rose again, and he will save everyone who believes and calls on his name. So you've heard it. Now you can believe it in your heart. Right now you can trust in him. You can believe that Jesus died for you and rose again. And if you believe that, then right now you can call on his name. You can pray. What that means is to pray. Call on his name. Pray and ask him to forgive you. Ask him to be your Savior. And if you'll do that this afternoon, he'll save you and he'll give you eternal life. So respond in faith and obedience. Trust and obey this afternoon while we sing. Hey, 5, 6.